Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came, and the floods rose, and the wind beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. To hear and to do, to hear those words and to do them, that's building on the rock. It's not enough just to hear the words. Not just the words themselves. The words themselves, if they're not heard and done, will benefit nobody. Building on the rock means hearing and doing. If you want your marriage, if you want your family, if you want your life to withstand the wind and the rain and the floods, hear and do. Hear and do. Jesus taught us many things. He taught us to give more than required. He taught us to forgive before the person even asks. He taught us to love our enemies. Taught us to welcome strangers, to pray genuinely, and above all, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hear and do these things, and when the storms come, you'll be okay. Even when stuff falls in the choir room, you'll be okay. Jesus also gave words specifically for married people. He said, a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, clings to his wife, and the two shall become one. And this clinging, it's not just physically, and we don't really need to see that. But it's also spiritually, it's emotionally, it's mentally, it's with all our being. Your first relationship is no longer your parents. Cling to each other like your life depends on it. Hear those words and do them. Cling to each other. Hear and do. I want to focus for a minute, though, on a particular teaching of Jesus that reveals something very deep about God, about us, and about living this life together. When our kids were little, we had this videotape. It was a VHS. Some of you are too young to know what a VHS is. Right, Evelyn? Yeah, it's like a DVD, but it was 12 times as big and had 1/10 the amount of stuff on it. We had this videotape with Bible stories. They were cartoons, and they had music to them. There was John the Baptist. There was the Good Samaritan. Of course, there was the crucifixion. There was the resurrection. It had cute little songs to them. Overall, it was pretty well done. But one section drove me nuts as a dad. I bet you can remember what section drove me nuts, right? It's the one on the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son in the Bible, if you don't know the story, is a pretty basic story. A kid goes out, thinks he's hot stuff, leaves his father, goes into a life of sin, loses everything, realizes it's not all it's cracked up to be, that there is pain, that there is suffering, that there is alienation and betrayal out there when we leave God. And so he decides to come home. That's really the gist of the whole first part of that story. Now in the video, when the boy gets home, he gets to the gates, the cartoon, the dog sees the boy at the gates and goes running out and barking and alerts the father who's out there working in the field that the boy's come home. And so the father, oh, there's my kid. And he goes out to greet him. And it's all a very happy ending. And that's what drove me nuts, is that the dog had to alert the father that the boy had come home. And so, of course, every time the kids watched that, I would comment. It's not the dog that sees him first, because in the real story, the boy doesn't even make it halfway home. As soon as he turns around, the father runs out to him. The father runs out to the boy. The father runs out to him. So I'm always saying, why is the dog the first to see him? And after about 12 times of that, Ray, in her infinite wisdom, 7-year-old Ray turns around and says, "Dad, it's just a cartoon." But the reason it's important, and I hope it sunk in, even if it was just a cartoon, the reason it's important is that the whole point of the prodigal son story is not the son. It's misnamed. It's not even the older son who comes later. You can read about him too. It's about the character and nature of the father. It should be called The Loving Father. That should be the title of that story. It's about his character and his nature. He runs. He's watching. He doesn't let the boy even turn around before he's out there. He covers the ground we can't cover. The boy in his emaciated state never would have made it on his own, and there's a deep symbolism there. He covers the ground we can't. His love compels to seek us when we're down and broken. Now, Aaron and David, if you're going to hear and do anything that Jesus taught, learn to run like that. Learn to run like a father, our father, who will cover the ground that others can't. Now, Aaron, I know you can run. For those that weren't there when Aaron was one, Aaron never learned to walk. I'm surprised we could walk down the aisle that slowly. Aaron went straight from calling to running, and she never stopped. There was this one time that Ray was playing in one room, and Aaron was in the room at the far end of the house, and I pulled out, opened the freezer, and I pulled out a bomb pop. For those that don't know what a bomb pop is, it's like a popsicle, but part of it is red, and then a stripe in the middle is white, and then a stripe is on the top is blue. Now, Aaron remembers this as a fudgesicle, but it's a bomb pop. And it was a bomb pop. So I say, "Ray, do you want a bomb pop?" And Ray says, "Yes, please, Daddy." So she stands up and comes walking into the kitchen and gets her bomb pop. From the farthest corner of the house comes this loud, "Me!" But about 2 octaves higher. And Aaron comes through a doorway around the corner on an angle, running up for that bomb pop. Now, David, I know you can run. Aaron was in Ireland for an entire semester. And you were coming with Ray and Stephen to meet her at the airport. And for some reason, you were running late. And so Aaron's plane already landed. And David and Stephen get there just as she's getting out off the plane and coming through the concourse. And we're walking briskly to see Aaron, and here comes David through the main doors of the airport. This is the Eau Claire airport, so it's not that big. Leaping over one of those rows of chairs, you know, those plastic chairs, hurtling them like a track star to come see Aaron. And this is when they were just friends. David ran after Aaron the way Aaron ran after a bomb pop. But if we're going to hear and do the words of Jesus, let's add a spiritual dimension to that. Let's not just run to meet someone at the airport or for a bomb pop. Let's run to forgive. Let's make up the ground somebody else can't. Let's run to those in need who can't take care of themselves. Let's run to those in need who can take care of themselves but won't. How about them? Let's run to form bonds with others that we may not initially choose to form a bond with. Speaking of bonds, there's a bond that David formed with our son Ben. Sometimes a guy will befriend another guy to get to his sister. That's true, right? But I sometimes suspect David started a relationship with Aaron in order to befriend her brother. Because David was in Ireland this past semester, and every day these two were in complete contact with each other constantly. Aaron was on her phone all day long. "Are you texting a boy?" One day we said, "What's David doing today?" "I don't know, I haven't heard from him." "What, did you send him a message?" "Yeah." Later on the day, "What's David doing?" "I haven't heard from him." A whole day went by. Finally, at the end of the day, we find out that David had been spending the entire day online with Ben, from across the sea, doing some kind of video chat or video games with each other. There's a spiritual dimension to that bond you build with each other's family as well as with each other. Aaron, from your almost magical friendship with Miss Evelyn, to your care for animals, birds will fly right into your hand, to your chosen career path as a healer. Like the love of the Father, both of you are running spiritually to show his love in this broken and messed up world. And in this marriage, most of all, run to each other. Run to each other. If you fight, now I know all you married couples are out there going, did he just say if? When you fight, run back ASAP. Run back as fast as you can. Cover the ground your spouse can't. Sometimes one of you will be stronger than the other, another time the other one will be stronger. Cover the ground your spouse can't. The father in the prodigal son story did not wait for his son to make it all the way. His son never would have made it. He didn't make his son grovel at his feet when he got back. The son, in fact, in the story was planning to grovel. And when he starts, the father cuts him off. He put that ring on his finger, put the robe on him. Don't make each other grovel in apologies. These are the words of Jesus. Hear and do them, and your house will never, ever fall. You know, God didn't just create marriage as a concept. He created this marriage. He created David and Aaron's marriage today. You want a marriage that will withstand storms? You want a marriage that's built on rock? It's not just the words of Christ out there somewhere, and it's not just hearing. But you too, hear and do. Amen.